Well, good morning. Again, I'm Pastor Kevin Daniels, and I'm glad that you're all with us today. Today, I'm going to start with a list, and it's not a top 10 list, it's a top 12 list, and it's 12 reasons why a pastor quit attending sporting events. Number one, the coach never came to visit me. Number two, every time I went, they asked for money. Number three, the people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. Number four, the seats were very hard. Number five, the referees made a decision I didn't agree with. Number six, I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. Number seven, some games went into overtime, and I was late getting home. Number eight, the band played some songs I had never heard before. Number nine, the games are scheduled on my only day to sleep in and run errands. Number 10, my parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Number 11, since I read a book on sports, I feel that I know more than the coaches do anyway. And number 12, I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. So obviously this is a satirical list talking about some of the reasons why people say they don't go to church. All of those reasons that you've heard that we talked about there, I've probably heard at one point or another when talking to people about attending church. The only one that I have never heard was the wanting to see what others were wearing. That one was foreign to me. But all the rest of them, I've heard. And so my question to you is, why go to church? Why do we go to church? I think it comes down to relationships. And it's our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. In Mark 12, Jesus says this, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Coming to church is a time where we offer ourselves in worship to God. And it's a time that we come and celebrate our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. It's not a time that's focused on me. It's not a time that's focused on us individually. It's about God and it's about other people. Jesus' primary focus in the New Testament in his life was on relationships. It wasn't focused on teaching all of these statements that people had to ascribe to and believe. It was about developing real relationships with people who needed a relationship with God. Relationships with God is what a real church is after. That's our main mission in life as a church, is to have a good relationship with God and to help other people have good relationships with God as well. Jesus focused on relationships, and I want to read this story from Luke chapter 8. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded, Jesus was, by crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So what was Jesus' point here? Why does Jesus care who touched him and got that healing power from him? That's the question I want you to turn to someone near you and answer. Why do you think Jesus cares who touched him and received his healing power? There's probably lots of many reasons why Jesus wanted to see this woman. I mean, he was God. He knew who touched him. But you know what he wanted to do was make a connection with that woman. He wanted to have a relationship with that woman so that she knew that it was not just the healing that she needed, but that she needed a relationship with Jesus, the one who had healed her. Jesus wanted to look her in the eyes and tell her that it was okay, that her sins had been forgiven and that she had been healed. And Jesus wants that connection with all of us. He doesn't want us to come punch the clock on Sunday morning and just, okay, I was at church, check. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to connect with one another. He wants us to work together to reach those who do not yet know Jesus. Now, is that going to happen every week? Every week are we going to come in and feel like we had a connection with Jesus? Probably not. Because there's lots of other things that are going to distract us. There's going to be sound difficulties. There's going to be bad preaching. There's going to be bad singing. There's going to be bad anything. That person next to you might smell. I don't know. Don't look now, guys. Don't. I saw some pointing going on over there. All right. But things are going to happen and we're going to fail because we're human beings and we sin. We are going to make mistakes. Yet our goal is to come into this place and provide a chance for us to connect with God and connect with other people. How would your experience change if on Sunday mornings, instead of your attitude saying, what can I get out of church this morning? What if you said, what can I give to God this morning? How can I serve God this morning when I go to church? Instead of what can I get out of it? That simple change, that simple thought process to change, this is my act of giving, my act of worship to God, will change your Sunday mornings, guaranteed. When we start realizing that God didn't call us to be the church for our own individual benefit, He called it for the benefit of the world who does not yet know Him. He called it for the benefit of us as a collective body. When we realize that, then some of those little irritations kind of fade away. That song I didn't really like singing, that doesn't matter quite so much when I realize I'm not here for myself. I'm here for the connection and the relationship with God. So when we come to church, we are here to make connections with God. We're here to worship God. And we're also here to make relationships with people that don't yet know God. The people outside this church are just as important as the people here sitting here today. Because everyone needs to have that relationship with God. And so what are we as a church doing about that? What are we doing to tell our friends and our neighbors and our family about God and about Jesus? We also come to church to encourage one another, to encourage those that are in the faith. The writer of Hebrews says, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." We need each other to reach out and to guide one another because none of us have it all figured out. No one has the Christian life 100% figured out. We need each other. We need men and women to mentor us. We need elders to guide our congregation. We need young people to give us energy in our church. All types of people are needed to form this unified body. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about the church being a body of Christ. And guys, we're all a part of that. When you decide to follow Christ, you become a part of the body of Christ. And we cannot function if the whole body is not working together. And you cannot function if parts are missing. Can you imagine if you had two left feet? Just walk in a circle, I guess. Or you could see me dancing and probably say I have two left feet. You're showing up to church, and don't miss this. Your being here this morning is vital to the body of Christ and to this congregation. Each of you, whether you're a first-time guest, whether you're a regular attender, whether you're a member, whether you're here against your will, whatever it is, you're vital for being here. You are here for a reason. And you say, oh, Kevin, that's not true. Nobody's going to notice if I'm gone Sunday here or there, or if I'm gone for a month or two. But if you're not here, the body is incomplete. The body cannot function the way the body is intended to do. Maybe your sole function this morning was to give someone who really needed it a hug. Maybe someone really needed a smile from an old friend, and you gave it to them. Maybe someone needed to hear your voice contributing to the songs of praise. Maybe a guest wouldn't have been greeted this morning had you not been here to greet them. Maybe there's someone here that is going to really connect well with you. And if you weren't here, they wouldn't feel connected to this congregation. You're more than a number. You're more than a dollar sign. You are a valued member of the body of Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ, I value you, I love you, I care for you, and we need you. We need you as a church. God wants you at church. And all of us need to recognize that it's a distinct privilege that we have to gather and worship. It's something that we take for granted far too often. First, we're blessed because of the country that we live in and the sacrifice that men and women have made for this country. There are many places in the world where it's not safe to gather together for worship. You cannot praise God. You can be executed just for mentioning Jesus' name. And we live in the United States of America, and we have the freedom to gather. But more than just the political freedom that we have to gather, we have a spiritual freedom that's foreign to those who lived in the Old Testament. The Old Testament followers of God could only truly worship at the tabernacle or later the temple. It was restricted to a specific place in a specific way and a specific time. There was the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where God's presence was said to exist and to be present. But you know who had access to that space and that presence of God? One person. And that was the high priest. And you know how often he could go in God's presence? One time a year. That was it. That was all that Israel could have presence with God like that. Yet we're living in a time where God has given us the ability to have relationship with Him and worship Him and praise Him and pray to Him and be with Him 24 hours a day. We are living in an amazing, blessed time. The writer of Hebrews talks about this. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for our sins. We were separated from God because of sin, starting with Adam and Eve. That gulf developed, and there was nothing we could do to cross it. Yet God was not happy with that divide. He sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life and relationship with the Father. Because of that sacrifice, we are able to enter into worship at any time and at any place because Jesus' blood cleansed us and united us together. So some use that as an argument about why you shouldn't have to go to church anymore, right? You can worship God anywhere. You don't need to go to church. While it's true that you can worship God anywhere, the writer of Hebrews in the very next section of verses clarifies, because if you're thinking that, this is what he says to remind you that that's not what he's saying. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." He celebrates the fact that we can worship anywhere, but he reaffirms the fact that we need corporate worship. We need to come together to motivate, to encourage one another. And we shouldn't neglect this. Though we can worship anywhere, God has created the church and designed the church and calls us to be there on the Lord's Day to worship corporately with Him. We worship together in song. We worship together through learning, through giving, through communion, through fellowship. And we're commanded to worship and to be together. We're told to be in community with one another, to gather together. Nowhere in Scripture does God commend a solo Christian life. It's not a Lone Ranger type of faith. We're made for relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. We're to come together to encourage one another, to share the gospel with those who do not yet know Christ, and to worship together. As a community, we can do more together than we can do apart. That is what the church is supposed to do. That is what the church is supposed to be, a place of community where we love one another, where we share each other's burdens, and where we reach others with the message of the gospel. Now, is the church going to fail? Sure. Are we going to make mistakes? You betcha. But that's not an excuse to bail on church. We can seek change when we see those things happening, but we do it from within the body, as a part of the body of Christ. Within the church, we seek those changes. We have the obedience to be here, to be a part of a body, and we influence from the inside. I hope that you are feeling loved and appreciated as attenders of this church. Because you are. Even if you're just passing through town today and you're here just for an hour and... sure, hour. You're appreciated. I appreciate you being here and worshiping with us. Because you're all part of the body of Christ. And the more, the merrier, right? But the diversity of individuals being here, coming from different backgrounds, coming together to worship God, is a small glimpse of heaven. We want the church to be a vibrant extension of the Holy Spirit's work in Hayes and in the world. And you are part of that. And I want you all to feel welcome. And I want you to find a place here. I want you to find a way to serve here, to share your gifts, to be part of the giving, to participate in activities and fellowship. We want a church that is active and loving. And we want you to be a part of that. And I hope that you will. Jesus said this to his hearers. He said, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. What type of foundation are you building for yourself and for your family? A strong foundation begins ultimately with that relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is extended and strengthened by your relationship with fellow believers in as part of a local church. I would like to encourage you to take a step to maybe commit to membership here. Take that step to be baptized. Take that step to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because God is calling you into community. God is calling you to a local church. And maybe this is the one He has called you to. Wherever that may be for you, get involved with church. Get involved with a Bible-believing church. And know that you're welcome here. Welcome to church.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.